Hey, everybody, just want to get some plugs in before the show begins. This April 11th, Monday, April 11th at the Looking Glass Lounge will be You, Me, Them, Everybody Live, featuring Sean Peoples from Sockets Records, comedian Jessica Brodkin, a special set from Laughing Man, and music, like always, from Ian Walters. The following Monday, April 18th, once again at the Looking Glass Lounge, guests include Magna Nicasas from the Not For Tour Sky DC, comedian Tyler Snickson, and a special set from Star FK Radium. Later that week on Thursday, April 21st, I will be in Chicago for You, Me, Them, Everybody Midweekend Review, hosted by myself. Panelists include comedian Chad Briggs, Red Eye writer and blogger for Accidentally Sexy, Anna For Not, comedian Sean Flannery and host of Outside the Loop Radio, Mike Stevens. Easter Sunday, April 24th, we'll be at the Whistler, our first show at the Whistler for You, Me, Them, Everybody Live. Guests include Pitchfork News editor Amy Phillips, comedian Prescott Tolk, and a special set from Post Honeymoon. The following day, Monday, April 25th, we'll be back at the Hungry Brain for You, Me, Them, Everybody Live in Chicago, hosted by myself and Esmeralda Leone. Guests include Q101 DJ and author James Van Osdell, Chicagoist editor-in-chief Chuck Pseudo, comedian Dan Ronan, and a special set from Good Evening Music that night from Trevor McSpadden from the Hoyle Brothers. So come on out to all those if you're in Chicago and D.C. And finally, New York City at the end of the month, Saturday, April 30th, You, Me, Them, Everybody Live at Pete's Candy Store in Williamsburg. We're going to do the talk show there at midnight, and guests include, from The Daily Show, Wyatt Cenac. So it'd be awfully kind if you came out to all seven of those shows in three different cities. For more information on these shows and all the other shows that we do, go to the website, which you've gotten this podcast from, youmethemeverybody.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and I hope you enjoy the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, sitting in an awfully dark Washington, D.C. apartment, and I am speaking with
Emerson Dameron.
Emerson, you are where?
Right now, I'm in Humboldt Park.
Chicago.
I've been traveling a lot over the last year or so.
Have you really?
Yeah, I was in New York for a couple of weeks.
When were you in New York?
I was in New York over the Thanksgiving holidays.
I had no idea.
Yeah, I went out there to see my aunt.
You should have told me.
What were you doing out there?
I was in New York over the later in Thanksgiving, scouting for venues for my talk show.
Did you find anything?
I did. I have done two episodes now at Pete's Candy Store in Williamsburg, and we have a four-month commitment starting in the end of this month.
Yeah, every time I'm actually in New York City, it feels like the center of the universe.
Like that Built to Spill song, Center of the Universe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But as soon as I leave, I also lose any desire that I ever had to live there.
I kind of agree completely.
I think if I was like 19, it would be exciting, but
why
now
would it
I
be
think
exciting?
It would just be a huge pain in the ass.
Why would it be exciting, though, at 19 and not now? I really don't understand that.
I grew up in Nebo, North Carolina, so like at that point, Asheville, North Carolina was pretty exciting.
I learned yesterday on the show that Asheville has a comedy festival.
It does. Asheville has really taken off. Like Moog Fest was there last year.
Yeah, that's
that was one of the coolest music fests of them all.
Did you go?
No, I wish I could have.
Are
that
you
was
gonna,
right when I was moving.
Are you going to apply to the Asheville Comedy Festival?
I should, now that you mention it, because I'd have free lodging now.
There you go.
I could tell my mom that I was going to see her. And
does your mother know that you're doing stand-up?
Yes.
What does she think of it?
I don't. She's probably seen the clip that's on YouTube.
That's the pie clip?
Yeah, she has not really commented on it one way or the other.
That is
I don't know how she
very
feels
old
about
clip, Emerson.
Yeah, it's ancient. 2008.
Do you still do that joke?
Occasionally.
Oh, you're disappointing me.
If I needed a good closer, that always comes through in the clutch.
We never talked about this. You were one of the first guests on the show. You had just started kind of doing stand-up when we talked, right?
Right.
You've done the live show. You've played The Brain twice. You're currently hosting a monthly show at The Brain.
That's correct.
Did we ever talk about why you did this to start with?
Why I started doing stand-up?
Yeah, because I met you as a writer.
Right.
And you're a very good writer.
Thanks.
And then you decided to do stand-up because you wanted to be sadder. Why did you do this?
Well, I think anyone that does it has some kind of weird streak where they think that they're improving themselves by subjecting themselves to a certain amount of misery and humiliation.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's some like deep-seated religious holdover thing, but...
Do you think most stand-ups have a deep-seated religious holdover thing?
Most of them are fucked up people.
Oh, I'd agree completely.
Like, way, way beyond what you would guess.
I'd agree, but how is that different than the, like, zine people that we knew?
Not particularly, except most of them don't smell bad, and...
The comics.
You don't see as many bad tattoos.
Emerson and I were probably the two best-smelling zinesters from...
I would go that far.
01 to 06. We had that on lockdown.
I was actually at Columbia College's Zine Fest.
Oh, last weekend. How was that?
Yeah, I didn't get to see it that much. I was just there for a while. But I'm amazed that it still exists.
Zines?
That whole subculture.
Yeah, it really...
It felt like it was really drying up when I was... kind of a part of it.
When Emerson and I were in our heyday of readings, when we do like one or two a week, it seemed, for a few years, it seemed like when we started, everyone had a zine, and by the time we were done, everyone had a blog, and maybe like half their people had zines.
Because with the web, it's easier, and you get much more readers.
Oh, of course, and
it seemed like the obvious thing to do.
Yeah, but it's still fun. I still have my zines. I gave one to one of the guests recently because he mentioned Kirby Puckett, and I happened to have that zine on me. It was a very weird thing. Do you miss doing the zine stuff at all?
Not really.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, I don't. It was fun for a while, and now. I get to be not quite as irrelevant.
Well, you're doing stand-up, so that's still debatable.
Well, probably the most poorly attended booked show that I've ever done had as many people as ever read my zine.
Oh, that's depressing. Was that at the Brain?
Yeah, probably... I don't know. The last 8x8 was pretty... There weren't that many people there.
You know that makes me very upset, right?
Well, it's going to be better next time.
Who's booked for this month?
Charlie Berry is booked for this month.
Okay.
Aaron Weaver, Ken Whitskull. I don't have the list in front of me.
That's okay. Who cares? It's fine. It's at the end of the month.
And it's going to be good.
It's going to be it fucking better be, sir.
It's going to be better than last month.
God damn it. Pack that place. That first one we did, I booked that goddamn show. It was packed.
The first one was one of the best comedy shows I've ever done.
Damn right.
It was really, really good.
And I will take all of the credit for not being there.
Yeah. You did a solid booking job.
Fucking A, I did. Speaking of a solid booking job, you're affiliated with the People Under the Stairs, the new show / old show at the Hideout.
That's correct.
They had their debut relaunch, I guess you could call it, last night.
Yeah, like the re-premiere.
With the three of the best comics in the entire world, Todd Barry, Brandon Walsh, and Neil Hamburger.
And they all killed.
They all killed. Two sold-out shows at the Hideout. How are you affiliated with this group?
Basically, I knew some people from Lake City, and when I got back to Chicago very late last year, I ran into Ryan Murphy at a house party, one of Jacob Nab's salons, which actually...
Jacob Nab, for those of you that don't know, has been on the show before. He was in one of the infamous We're Really Drunk at Printer's Ball episodes. And he also goes by the name Harold Ray and hosts the show the first Tuesday of the month at the Hungry Brain. Continue, sir.
That's also a really good show.
It's an okay show. It's an okay show.
Some really good ones.
I've seen some real awful ones, okay?
What's cool about it is the really good ones that I've seen that were really well attended, if that show had happened here 5 years ago, it would have been at Quimby's and there would have been five people there.
That is true. I've taken over the niche Quimby's booking market. I've destroyed
that. And it's really grown. I mean, those you can get a decent audience for pretty esoteric shit here now.
Yeah, it's going okay. But let's go back to a really successful show.
Okay.
And that's the Hideout. You reconnected at a Jacob Nab party.
Yeah, I ran into Ryan Murphy there, and I think he said they were hiring at Drag City, so I went in and talked to him about that, and he had already filled the job, but I ended up talking with another dude that works at Drag City who used to run the People Under the Stairs like 3 years ago, which was a comedy show that Drag City was running. I think for a while it was at Weeds, and then some of them were at the Hideout.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, like, pretty much everyone that they had went on to be huge. Like, Fred Armisen did it.
Well, Fred Armisen did it when he was already on Saturday Night Live.
Right. But if anything, he's even bigger now.
Of course. The biggest names in terms of local guys is they had TJ Miller, Kyle Kinane, Hannibal, and Kumail Nanjiani. Those are probably the four biggest names that they have that the listeners would know. Well, all those guys currently lived in Chicago.
And they all left, and they're all headlining now.
Yeah, and like they also, like Paul F. Tompkins would stop by, stuff like that. It was very Largo-esque.
Right. Yeah, that's a good analogy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Only at the Hideout, which for some reason, I think maybe because it feels like it's out in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a bunch of warehouses, people kind of loosen up there.
Oh, yeah, the Hideout is probably my favorite venue to go to any day of the week.
Motherfuckers drink at the Hideout.
Yeah, but they're not drunks. It's weird.
They're not like screaming bachelorette party alcoholics.
Exactly. I think there is a TV that occasionally has like the Cubs or Sox on, but it's in the corner.
Right.
Not in the venue. The venue is separate from the bar, which is fucking fantastic.
That helps out a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of things where I'd like to rearrange the brain so it'd be more like the Hideout.
Yeah.
We're getting too insider though. So the People Under the Stairs ran for a few years. Why did it stop?
It just kind of petered out, I think. I think, you know, there's other things came up, and it was too big of a pain in the ass for Dan to run by himself.
Okay.
So they just shelved it.
And this, when did it get shelved?
It got shelved, like, I want to say 2007.
Oh, wow, so it's been 4 years.
Maybe not quite that long ago, but it was pretty much over by the time I left, which was late 2007.
Okay. So you come back, you see these guys in late 2010, and all of a sudden it's April and it's back. Why did this show relaunch?
Because I was talking with Ryan about how I'd been doing comedy, and we talked about TJ and people we knew.
Did you know TJ in LA?
Yeah, kind of.
Did you guys get along?
Yeah, he's actually a really friendly guy.
Oh, that's nice.
Like the character he plays is kind of a condescending douchebag,
mm-hmm.
but that's not really what he's like at all.
That's good, I guess.
Yeah, good. I mean, they're both really funny characters, but a lot of the comics are very different.
Speaking of characters, are you, when you're on stage, do you consider yourself doing a character or no?
I think if anything, that's more of my real personality.
So you okay?
And what
okay.
Who I am at parties and in the coffee klatch is an extremely restrained version.
What the hell is the coffee klatch?
You know, out and about, up with people.
I've never heard that term. Is that like a? Did you just make that up, or did you claim that?
It exists.
Coffee klatch.
Klatch with a K.
Oh, that makes even less sense now.
You can Google it. Okay. Not now, because we're doing this live.
That is true. I like to do most things live, by the way. It doesn't really make sense if... that's mean.
I think, if anything, who I am normally is a pretty humble, socially awkward, friendly person.
I agree.
When I perform or write, I get to be the arrogant, like, full-blown person that I actually am in my private thoughts.
In your head.
Exactly.
Do you feel like you're better than everyone?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, good.
I mean, that's good. It's either that or I feel like I'm worse than everyone.
Do you feel like you're the best, smartest, funniest person in the world and also a piece of shit?
I could actually be both of those simultaneously.
That's exactly how I feel at all moments of the day.
So, yeah, it's nice to have a forum for that where I can do that without completely alienating everyone.
Do you think doing those readings we did for a long time helped us do what we do now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what got me into stand-up was a combination of doing radio for many, many years and doing those readings.
I completely forgot that you used to do radio.
Yeah, I did. I've done radio since I was 16 years
old. No, it's weird because at one point I was technically your boss at a radio station.
Oh, yeah.
I completely forgot about that.
What was that station called?
That was WRDP, Radio DePaul.
Yeah, Andrew Maul and I had a show on WRDP.
Very, very weird world. So anyways.
It was before Boom Boom in Your Room Room came up.
That show is still running and doing really well.
I can imagine.
It's the highest rated show, I think, on the station.
Is it the same dudes doing it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's...
Yeah, they must have a real cult by now.
Okay, so...
That's inside baseball.
Crazy inside. That's like single A insider baseball. People Under the Stairs relaunches. You guys... So are you booking? What are you doing exactly?
I'm helping with booking, and I'm also in charge of actually getting the headliners into town.
Okay, so could we talk about the logistics of this, or is it too, like, off the record?
If there's anything that should be off the record, I just won't answer.
Fantastic. Okay, so who said, I want to get these three guests, or was this a tour that already existed, and you said, hey, come through Chicago?
For this being the first show, we actually got an opportunity to piggyback on the Value Tour.
Okay.
That Todd and Greg, aka Neil Hamburger, were doing.
I had no idea that his name was actually Greg.
That's all I can say about that.
That's fantastic. Okay, so they were already coming through town.
Right. And so we worked something out with them where it would be, you know, their stop here, and we would also promote it as the return of People Under the Stairs.
Had either of these performers done People Under the Stairs during the initial run?
I think Neil Hamburger had. Okay. I'd be surprised if he hadn't, because he seems to be everywhere all times.
How did Brendan Walsh get involved in this?
He was just opening for them on this leg.
Okay. Because to me, I know this sounds awesome. Weird. I'd rather see him than Neil or Todd. And I have
incredible.
Their albums, but I fucking love Brendan Walsh.
He was really funny last night.
So, is this show at least breaking even, or are you guys losing money every show?
It's sold out.
No, I know it's sold out, but that doesn't mean a fucking thing. There's guarantees. I mean,
that's correct. No, we are in the black.
Okay, that's fantastic. So, in theory, could this become a job for you?
In theory.
That's fantastic. Who hosted?
I introduced it.
You didn't do any material?
No, I just got up and said, welcome to what this is and all of that, and sign up for our Facebook page and get crowdsourced and no bootlegging.
Do you feel like you missed an opportunity?
No, I actually thought it was a pretty solid intro.
You wasted an opportunity.
I could have just hijacked the show.
I mean, you could have done 3 minutes.
People came out to see those guys.
Yeah, exactly. So they were already a captive audience.
I don't know. Maybe I was too humble.
Yeah, because that always works in stand-up comedy.
Yes, it does.
Sorry, I'm being very negative right now. I just think like...
I know, you're just being... all of a sudden it turned into a big downer.
I'm just saying, like, you have a... This is the exact crowd...
DC is getting under your skin.
No, it's a good thing. I'm more focused than ever before, man. I'm serious.
How so?
I'm not fucking around. I'm trying to think... I don't have time to not be productive. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think at some point you hit a point where you're like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I've got to treat it like a job.
Exactly. And you have that's the best. The Hideout crowd is the crowd every single performer wants.
They're a really good crowd.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying.
They're the kind of crowd where, like, I actually saw a guy laughing with tears coming out of his eyes at Neil Hamburger.
Yes, but here's my point. Does anyone in that crowd know that you host a monthly show at the Hungry Brain?
They could look it up.
Okay, because that's never going to happen.
Probably not.
That's what I'm saying. It's those little things.
I got my foot in the door, though.
You already had your foot in the door. You were literally on the stage.
Got visibility.
Yeah, but for how?
They know me as the authority figure that they trust.
Yeah, but you could have also had him sign up for a mailing list.
The show.
You could have had him sign up for a mailing list.
I could have promoted my own shit on Drag City's dime, but I decided not to do that.
You really screwed that up.
If I did, I will have to live with it for the rest of my life.
Okay. Speaking of the rest of your life, this is planning to be a monthly series, a bi-monthly series. What's the goal for People Under the Stairs?
There is no show in May.
Okay.
There's the show on June 16th has Laura Keitlinger, Morgan Murphy, and Charlene Yee.
That's going to be great because it's not part of Just for Laughs, but it's the same week as Just for Laughs. Is that correct?
Yeah, we really lucked out with that.
So you guys are trying to pretty much like not have to break the bank in terms of availability and stuff like that.
It would be nice if we could get a little momentum going.
I think you might be able to pull in even bigger names just on Laura Keitlinger.
And the July show is Brent Weinbach and Ian Savonius.
I don't know Ian Savonius.
He's doing well. You know, Nation of Ulysses and the makeup.
Yeah, the bands. Form.
Yeah, he's your. He lives in your stomping ground.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, in DC.
Okay, so
he's going to be there, and he's going to be doing stand up.
Okay, that sounds like a thing.
It is.
All right.
Because in the old iteration, I think they had Will Oldham do stand up once.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
But it's an interesting thing that people are going to want to come see.
I feel like there's this weird comedy renaissance now, and I like to credit it all to podcasting.
I'm sure, yeah. Like the Marc Maron podcast is getting really popular, and yeah, actually, when I was in Los Angeles, I knew a couple of guys that started podcasts and all of a sudden just got tons of attention through that.
The problem is, like, maintaining it. You know what I mean?
It's hard work.
Yeah, it's... I know that there's no shortcut, but it's finally, like, I've gotten to the point where I don't have to explain what the word podcast means anymore.
Right. Everybody knows what it is, and it's possible to have a successful podcast if you weren't already famous.
Exactly. It's very, very new.
Yeah.
So what's the goal for People Under the Stairs for you? Do you just want
me?
Yeah. What's the goal?
It's fun to promote something that I think is interesting and that people are going to be glad that they checked out. And it's also a good chance to see really good comedians perform.
How much is the show?
The shows last night were $20.
Okay.
I saw both of them, so I got 40 minutes of comedy for free.
How long did each person get?
I think Walsh was about 15 minutes, and the other guys are about 35 each, although Todd Barry went way over because he got into a whole thing about how New York doesn't have alleys.
That is true. They don't. Did you see Todd Barry at the Congress?
No, I've never seen him before.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to know, I've talked to a few people about how that show went, but that's a weird... You know they're doing comedy at the Congress Theater now, right?
Yes, because Lakeshore is no longer with us.
I know, but Lakeshore sat like 300 or 400 and Congress seats like 3,000.
Apparently, I guess the shows are a little bigger now. I remember whenever people played... when Patton Oswalt would play Lakeshore, they always had to do a second show.
I know that, but that was like few and far between. I mean, the Congress is gigantic.
Yeah,
it's a weird cavernous space.
Even the guy that did the rat voice might not fill that room.
Yeah, that's a hard fucking room to hit. How often are you going up right now?
About 4 or 5 days a week.
That's fantastic. Where's your favorite place to go up?
I have different favorites for different reasons. Kohl's is probably the most fun crowd.
Yeah, I love Kohl's.
It's a real crapshoot depending on what time you go up, and you're going to be waiting a while to go up.
Kohl's is weird. Kohl's is that buddy film that you saw that you're like, football teams really aren't like this, or comedy is not really like this. It is really like that, only at Kohl's between the hours of like midnight. Between the hours of midnight and 2 a.m., it's like this weird fraternity of like angry, drunk people that are somewhat funny and then totally non-funny people, but the non-funny people brought the most people to see the comedy, and everyone's fucking drunk. I don't even care if you go in sober and you don't have a drink. You're drunk by the time you leave. It's fantastic. It's my favorite comedy night in the city.
Yeah, I think part of that is that in order to get a slot before like 2 in the morning, you really need to show up at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, but I don't recommend... My favorite is the last hour.
Like, right when it's when they're trying to close the bar.
Yeah, the last hour is just, like, the closest you'll get to pros going up, you know?
Yeah.
If anyone's doing Zanies that week, if any big names are coming through, they're coming in that last hour, and all the local bests are doing the last hour. So it's great.
Yeah, if you can stay up for it, it's totally worth it.
What I would do the last few months I was in Chicago is I'd hit Kohl's around 11, take my notes for my first hour and a half for all the comics while I was booking the shows at the Brain, and then the last hour and a half, that was my like fun time, where I would just see all the people I actually enjoyed, and we would just heckle the fuck out of each other.
There's lots of heckling at Kohl's.
Great, I love it.
Yeah, that's a fun one. What other ones do I like? Lottie's on Tuesdays is really
is that the new one?
Yeah, it's the new hot one that all the same people from Kohl's show up at.
Where's Lottie's?
Lottie's is on it's
what neighborhood is it in?
North Bucktown, near Armitage.
Oh, so it's like at California and Armitage.
It's east of there.
Okay. Weird. Yeah, I've never been to Lottie's.
I've only been there a couple of times, but that's the new... That Tuesdays at Lottie's is like the new cool open mic.
Interesting.
There's a couple of ones that I heard a lot about that I haven't done, like Guttermouth, which is also on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
That's the one Bill Cruz does.
Guttermouth's in a weird area. Guttermouth's in Lincoln Park, for those of you that don't know, but it's like down the street from Delilah's, so it's not like super yuppie, but it's in kind of a yuppie bowling alley, but they have like cheap drinks, so I can only imagine that's a weird crowd.
The crowd is, yeah, you don't know who's going to show up there.
Are you getting better?
Yeah, I would say not always consistently. Like, mm-hmm. I'll get better for a while and then I'll plateau. And particularly if I'm, like, sick for a week or I just don't feel like going up, I'll lose a lot of momentum. But I would say I've definitely gotten better over time, or at least more confident, which most people can't tell the difference.
The confidence of a comedian?
It's for most people, confidence equals better.
That's somewhat true. I mean, you could probably sell jokes that shouldn't necessarily have to be sold.
Let's put it this way. It can't compensate. Like, if you can't write and you're not doing anything, just plain old confidence means you're like the weird fruitcakes that get up and just tell stories.
No, I would disagree. I like the fruitcakes that tell stories.
Who doesn't? That's what, if you don't like those guys, you're going to get really sick of doing open mic.
Yeah.
The main reason I go is for the crackpot.
So you subscribe to the Patton Oswalt open mic theory.
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah.
The chaos.
I love it.
I love shows where the whole thing could go completely off the rails at any time.
That's hopefully every show I've ever put on.
Like the band, the Brian Jonestown Massacre does shows like that.
Except
where
it's
half
5 hours.
Fired.
Yeah, but except it's 5 hours of just comics.
Yeah.
Do you think, how does the Chicago open mic scene compare to the LA open mic scene?
It's a lot less formal.
The Chicago scene?
Yeah, it's more, it's not as networky.
Is that good or bad?
It's good in a way, you know, it's more, let me think about what, I guess people drink more.
Yes, they do. I can only imagine.
One thing you'll notice in LA is that the people that drink a lot tend to be recent transplants from Chicago. And maybe part of it is I can take the train, so I can get absolutely blackout drunk and nothing bad's going to happen to me.
Yeah, it's fun.
But it kind of, it bleeds into the culture of it where it's more rowdy and, you know, the edges are a little rougher. It's less professional, I guess.
Is it better to write new stuff, or does it matter?
It depends.
Okay.
I mean, it's I try to do something new every time, and it has more to do with just what kind of night it is.
Will you go up if you're not trying anything new?
Yeah, sometimes.
What's the point?
Just to get better at stuff that I've already done. I mean, the only way to get something really good is to do it dozens of times.
You think?
To see, to change around the phrasing and the delivery and see what works and what doesn't.
All right. What's the goal for the stand-up?
There's no real end game, I guess. It's more, it's something to do that's creative, and I get to go out and do it with other people. And, you know, ideally I'd like to get a writing job or be able to do something like that full time for a living.
What kind of writing job?
I'd love to write for television or write movies or even
what kind
just,
of what television show would be the ideal job?
I have no idea of what's on right now.
ever.
Oh, of all time.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
I mean, something like Mr. Show sounds like it would be.
So you'd want to do comedy sketch stuff.
Yeah, because you get to, I mean, that's kind of how my mind works, where okay. It jumps around, and it would be great to do something where you can do dozens of different ideas, and the whole template can change every week.
That's good. Like,
that sounds like a real dream to me.
That's obtainable.
So, yeah, that would be great. You know, even, I don't know, there's, you kind of have to love just doing it, and at the same time, be aware of the opportunities that come from doing it.
Do you still love doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. I will quit the day that I don't.
Okay, that's fair. What does your girlfriend think of this?
She's supportive.
Okay.
I mean, that's, she's come out to my shows, and we talk about, you know, how to rework certain things so they're better, and, you know, she's very cool about it.
That's nice. Who's your favorite Chicago comic in terms of, like, friends of yours?
People I know personally.
Yeah, that you think are really funny.
Probably Aaron Weaver, who's going to be at 8x8.
That's good. I don't know Aaron.
26. Yeah, he's very dry, and I can't really do his bits or anything.
I'm not asking you to do his bits. That's just a bad idea.
But yeah, his voice is funny. Like, he's one of those people that could say anything and I would laugh, but his stuff is also very thoughtful and well written.
I'm looking up Aaron Weaver right now. Why do I know him?
He's done Red Bar before.
I don't know him through that. Sorry, listener at home. I'm looking up Aaron Weaver.
This has got to be really exciting.
Isn't it? This is for the kids.
Those people listening on the treadmill.
I forget that people listen to the show sometimes.
So they do. Yeah, you have a... That's the difference between this and zines.
That's true. Oh, zines. You're dumb. All right, let's plug some stuff of yours that's coming up.
All right, let's do it.
What do you have that's coming up?
Well, 8x8, the third show is on April 26th at the Hungry Brain.
Doors at 8.
First 8x8 with Lou's working.
Yeah,
so
be fun.
Please come in and drop tons of money.
Yeah, that'll be a good show. What else you got besides that?
I'm just doing tons of open mics.
Fuck that. Don't ever plug an open mic.
Absolutely not. Like, I won't even tell my friends where
I'm doing. Yeah, don't try out open mic. Don't, yeah.
Nobody wants to be put through that torture.
No, you have to do it to strangers and other comics. It's a weird thing. And you can, people could follow you on Twitter?
That's correct.
What is your Twitter handle?
Emerson Dameron.
Emerson's got one of the best names ever. Emerson Dameron. Friend him on Facebook and all that great shit. Thanks for doing this, Emerson.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful evening.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.